This week, we jump up and down.
Hi, my name is Binesh and I live in Harlow. My question is, if the earth is spinning, why do we need to travel in an aeroplane? Could we not arrive at our destination if we stay static in the sky and land when we spot our destination as the earth spins by?
So, using the Earth's natural spin to help long-distance travel across its surface. Engineer Professor Hugh Hunt from Cambridge University.
The air around the Earth is moving at the same speed as the Earth. How fast is the Earth moving due to its rotation? Well, it's moving at about 1,000 miles an hour, which means that if we did sort of hover at rest above the spinning Earth, the wind speed we'd feel would be 1,000 miles an hour. And that would be impossible to deal with unless you had an aerodynamic object like an aircraft with engines to hold yourself against the wind. And that's exactly what an aircraft is. Concorde, for instance, could fly at the equator at about 1,000 miles an hour and could stay still, essentially. It would hover above the Earth. The Earth would be spinning around underneath it and it would then land somewhere else. If there were no atmosphere, doesn't solve the problem because we then don't have aerodynamic lift to hold the plane up. So we have to go into orbit. And going into orbit, well, the speeds there are even bigger, 20,000 miles an hour. And that requires a lot of fuel and a spacecraft.
So you, the Earth, and the atmosphere are constantly moving very fast as the Earth rotates. If you jump up and somehow manage to stop, you'd be faced with whopping 1,000 mile per hour winds. Get out of the wind and up into orbit, and the fuel you'd have to consume to get there would far exceed the fuel used by a plane, which uses the wind currents to their advantage. Another point is that, as Newton worked out, objects keep moving at the same velocity unless a force is applied. So stopping from speed is just as tricky as starting to get to speed in the first place. So even on an airless world, elevator-style travel across the Earth using its spin would still use up energy and wouldn't be that different to other modes of transport. Thanks, Binesh, for the question and Hugh Hunt for the answer. We next get our heads spinning around this.
Hello, Naked Scientists. I'm Stefan from Switzerland, and I was wondering about human microevolution. Birds and insects are changing their patterns to cope with climate change. But what about us? Did we develop thicker bones or tooth enamel to cope with longevity? Will we develop stronger index fingers to use with touchscreens or computer mice? Thank you.
Has human evolution halted? What do you think?
And if you can help Hannah, then the email address to write to is chris@thenakedscientist.com. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/thenakedscientist, or you can get in touch with us on Twitter. The answer to the quiz, we had lots and lots of you getting in touch to have a go. Many of you got this right, too many to read out. The first computer program was composed by Ada Lovelace, who, surprisingly enough, was the daughter of the English poet Lord Byron. She was a talented mathematician and she was also a friend of Charles Babbage. And amongst some notes that she published is a program for making Babbage's analytical engine. This is a design that hasn't actually been realised for a mechanical computer, and it was for making that computer calculate a mathematical sequence called the Bernoulli sequence. Well, that's it for this week. Thank you very much to our guests, Leslie Vossel, Clem Pryke, Mark Peplow, Eben Upton, Carrie-Anne Philbin, Rob Mullins and Jason Rees. Thank you to Dave Ansell for joining me and to Kate Lamble for production. Next time, we'll be trying to tell our left from our right, including looking at why 90% of us are right-handed. The Naked Scientist comes to you from Cambridge University. It's supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC and the STFC. My name is Chris Smith. This is RN. Thank you very much for listening. Until next time, goodbye.